morning. As Kent mentioned, my name is Tammy. I am on staff at Colonial Presbyterian Church. I am also in my final year of seminary. I have 77 days until I graduate. If I was counting, I'm not counting, but it would be approximately 77 days and 5 hours. Not any big deal. I am also a wife and a mother of 3 very active kids. I have a 14-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old son, and a 9-year-old son. And similar to what was alluded to, we're in the Olathe School District, and I'm convinced my kids are never in school. We did have 5 days of school this past week, but it was only the 3rd full week of school since December 16th. For the past 2 months, my kids have had at least 1 day off of school every week except for 3. So it was no surprise when on Friday morning, Isabella, my 14-year-old, was hard to wake up. By the time she finally made it down the stairs, she informed me she was sick and couldn't go to school. The truth of the matter was she looked fine. There was no fever, there was no cough, there was no stuffy nose, there was no sore throat, no stomach ache. Her color was good. So I did what I'm guessing most parents would do, and I called her bluff. That's fine. You can stay home from school, but then there's no horse riding this evening. You see, Isabella's entire life revolves around horses. She spends any chance she can get out at the barn riding horses. Nothing gets in the way of horse riding. Not cold weather, not early Saturday mornings. She's up at 6:30 every Saturday. Not even a 5-day school week. She quickly reneged on her claim of being sick. Because Isabella wasn't really sick. She just wanted to be sick. It would be easier for her if she could be sick. She wouldn't have to go to school. She could get some extra sleep. She could watch a little TV. Life would be great if she could just be sick. It sounds ridiculous, or maybe your kids try it too. The truth is, we know life is not easier when you're sick. I'm willing to bet that each of us have had times in our life when we were really, truly sick, and we longed just to get better. How many of us have loved ones, family members, friends, and coworkers who are battling some kind of chronic illness, and we pray daily for them that they would be healed? That's why the passage of scripture that we're going to look at today has always intrigued me. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. There might be a chance that they'll show up on the screen. Look at that, it happened. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered Jesus, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm getting in, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. Do you want to be healed? This question has always gotten my attention. The man was paralyzed. Of course he wanted to be healed. Maybe Jesus meant this as more of a rhetorical question, a question asked for dramatic effect or to make a point rather than to get an answer. Maybe. But honestly, I don't think this is a rhetorical question. I think Jesus sincerely wanted to know if this man truly, in his heart of hearts, wanted to be healed, or if he would prefer to stay just as Jesus found him. I also think this is a question that at one time or another, Jesus asks of every one of us. Because this question is at the very heart of the gospel. Do you want to be healed? Or would you prefer to stay just as Jesus found you? Let's dig into the passage and see what's really going on. Throughout the Gospel of John, John highlights 7 different miracles of Jesus, or signs that Jesus truly is the Son of God. The first sign is found in John chapter 2, when Jesus turns water into wine at the wedding in Cana. The second sign comes at the end of chapter 4, when Jesus heals the son of a royal official. Our passage, chapter 5, reveals the third sign, and it takes place sometime after the healing of the official's son. No one knows exactly how much time has passed between these two miracles. John doesn't say. But verse 1 of chapter 5 tells us, after this, after the healing of the official's son, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Scholars have debated which of the 3 annual feasts this passage is referring to. There was Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. All 3 of these required Jews travel to Jerusalem to observe the feast. No one really knows which feast this was, and honestly, it probably is not really relevant to the particular passage. What is helpful to know is that during the feasts, during those 3 annual feasts, the population of Jerusalem would swell from what was normally 25,000 people in the walls up to 180,000 people within the walls of Jerusalem. The streets of Jerusalem, the temple, the pools, all the public places were packed with people, including the pool by the Sheep Gate called Bethesda. This pool was located in the northeast corner of Jerusalem. It was very near the temple, so it would have been one of the busier pools. And John was really specific in pointing out exactly which pool he was talking about. He gives the location. It's in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate. He tells the name. There is a pool called Bethesda. And he even describes it, which has 5 roofed colonnades. There is no confusion for John's readers and audience what pool he's referring to. Anyone familiar with Jerusalem during this time knows this pool. The 5 roofed colonnades make you kind of picture like some pentagonal 5-sided pool thing, but that's not what it looked like. This actual pool was discovered in the late 19th century. And after almost 100 years of excavation and digging into it, we know now what John's audience knew at the time. It was actually one big rectangle-shaped pool with 2 basins and a wall separating them, and that was the 5th wall. It looked something like this. So there were the 4 sides around it and that 5th wall dividing it. The pools were a public place, and lots of people, especially during the festivals, Jewish law required purification before entering the temple. So the pools close to the temple were really busy. And scholars believe that that's why this particular pool had 2 basins, One of them was used primarily just for ritual purification. John also tells us that within the five roofed colonnades lay multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. The colonnades were big stone pillars every so many feet with a roof over them. And on one side, it was open so they could have access to the pool. The invalids would lay in the walkways so that they'd be protected from the hot sun. And they would wait. Scholars believe this is the reason for the second basin at this pool. You see, what some Bibles mention, and some do not, is an ending to verse 3 and to verse 4. If you look closely at your Bibles, many translations, including the ESV that I read, leave out the ending of verse 3 and they skip verse 4 altogether. It jumps from 3 to 5. The additional ending to verse 3 and verse 4 that some Bibles have, such as the NASB, read this way. In these colonnades lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. Seems like kind of relevant information to have. Why would some translations leave it out? Well, because these verses weren't in the earliest texts of John's gospel. The end of verse 3 and verse 4 didn't show up till some of the later dated texts. The texts that do include it will put brackets around it, indicating that it was an addition. Most likely, it was added because when at the time that John wrote this legend or this belief of angels stirring the water was really well known. Everybody in this area knew what was believed about these waters. It doesn't really matter if it was true or not, or if healing really did happen. The point is, this is what people believed about these pools. Noting this belief in the text wasn't important because it was so well known. It was common knowledge. He'd been very specific about which pool he was talking about. Everybody knew the stories about this pool. But as the gospel spread, as time passed, as the gospel went on to places that were not familiar with Jerusalem, the stories about this pool weren't known. And so editors of the text added it in. That's why some Bibles have verse 4 and some don't. But it is helpful for us 2,000 years later to understand what was happening at this pool called Bethesda. So out of the multitude of invalids, out of the expanse of people there because of the feast, Jesus engages with one man. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Jesus knew what the people believed about this pool. He knew exactly why this man was at this pool. And yet, Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" The word Jesus uses here is hugias, and it means sound or healthy. One of my favorite translations has Jesus asking, "Do you want to get well?" Essentially, Jesus is asking, do you want to be healthy? Of course he wanted to be healthy. He'd been paralyzed for 38 years. He was there at a pool known for healing. He'd been there, the scriptures say, a long time. I don't know how long a long time is. I imagine it'd been years. He'd seen the waters be stirred. He'd tried to get in. But when Jesus asks him the question, he doesn't respond the way I would have thought he would. He doesn't say, "Yes, please, I desperately want to be healed." He doesn't say, "Of course, why do you think I'm here?" He doesn't ask Jesus to help him. Instead, he gives Jesus some excuses. He tells Jesus all the reasons that he has never been able to get healthy. There's no one to help him into the pool. Others get in before he has a chance. He has his reasons, and I am sure he would argue they are very valid reasons why being healthy just hasn't been an option for him. He doesn't say, "Yes, I want to be made well." He gives Jesus excuses why being well isn't an option for him. One of my favorite things about the biblical narrative is how we get to place ourselves in the story. The very first time I read the story, I knew I was the paralytic. I have full mobility. I rarely get sick. I'm in pretty good physical health. But I knew that in this story, I was the paralytic, and Jesus was talking to me. He was asking me if I wanted to be healthy, or if he wanted me just to stay as he found me. Jesus is asking you the same question. We all have things in our life that cause us to be unhealthy. Things that have gotten us so paralyzed and stuck in a situation or a sin pattern that we just can't get out of it. Sin that keeps us from being who it is that God created us to be. And there is no doubt that the sin in our lives is just as damaging to us as whatever illness or disease caused this man's paralysis. In Psalm 32, verses 1 through 3, David says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through groaning all day long." Unconfessed sin, being silent about the sin in your life, is like your bones wasting away. And it absolutely leaves you paralyzed. The thing is, so much of that sin in our life is so much a part of who we are, of what we do, of our identity, that often we can't picture our life without it. And if being healthy means being without that thing, that addiction, anger, gossip, materialism, whatever that thing is, if being healthy means giving up that thing, then I'm not sure I want to be healthy. And that is the point that Jesus was trying to make. Pastor and author Frank Honeycutt once wrote, "Jesus came into this world to change me." These are Pastor Frank's words. "And to be honest, I don't like to be changed. Jesus didn't come to hold my hand. He didn't come to fit into my schedule. He didn't come to affirm or to coddle me. He might receive me just as I am, as the old hymn puts it, but he sure doesn't intend to leave me that way. That is the heart behind Jesus' question to the paralytic, and to you, and to me. Will you allow Jesus to change you and make you healthy? Jesus loves you just as you are. It doesn't matter where you're at today. There is no sickness, no pain, no addiction, no sin that is so great it will keep you from the love of Christ. He loves you just as you are, in your paralysis. But he also doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to heal you. Jesus, David's great lament that is found in Psalm 32 is over unconfessed sin, sin that just eats away at him, withering his bones and paralyzing him. But he starts it with these words. He starts, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Christ has already covered your sin. He has paid the price. Just ask him and you will be forgiven. Jesus came to heal the sick and save the lost. He has the power to forgive and to heal. But I have to tell you that there are most likely things in your life right now that will not be in your life once you're healthy. Once you've been healed, just like the invalid had his list of excuses and reasons why being healthy just wasn't an option for him, we have our reasons too. Why we aren't as healthy as we should be. Why we're justified in hanging on to the sin. My question to you today is, do you want to be healed? Because getting healthy, really healthy, means giving up the sin in your life. It means letting go of those idols that keep coming before God. Addictions, unhealthy relationships, money, pride, all of it. It's not easy. I know. I know it's not easy. Getting healthy is hard work. And there's generally some pain involved. Most of us have a lot of reasons why our sin is justified. But the question remains, do you want to stay just as you are? Or will you allow Christ to heal you? Even though the man by the pool named Bethesda never really answered Jesus' question, Jesus knew his heart. He knew the man wanted to be healed. So Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed, and walk." And he did. At once, the man was healed. He took up his bed and he walked. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, you have the power to forgive and the power to heal. Lord, I pray over these people here today that whatever it is in their life that might be holding them back from being who you fully created them to be, Lord, I pray that today they would start the process of being healthy. I pray that today they would lay it all out before you and they would allow you to work a mighty deed in them, and that the power of your healing hand would come upon them in whatever way is needed. In your name we pray. Amen.